Okay, this morning, I want to talk about God still speaks, loud and clear. You know, I think about Psalms 19, you know, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Heavens declare. Firmament shows. It's speech. It's a language that's heard, seen, understood throughout the whole world. Paul would say in Romans 1 and 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Said before, human beings learn by reason, experience, and observation. We do. Kids, that's how we grow up. We start to learn by reason, experience, and observation. Now, many times, especially as kids, you know, children, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. And he spoke like a child. But he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, a child's understanding would be somewhat flawed. I tell that story about Carrie in the car wash when she freaked out when she was a baby when I took the car in the car wash and she was strapped into a car seat right between me and Sue. I just said, I'm going to get the car washed. So I pulled up my Peta Man and started pulling the car into this dark tunnel. And all of a sudden, whap, man, things hit the windshield, brushes were bap, 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 and lights were flashing and Carrie freaked out. Wah! She thought it was a monster eating the car. Easy. Her understanding was flawed. I mean, it was not complete. I don't think she fears car washes today, but she screamed the whole way. I couldn't back up. I couldn't get out. We had to slowly get pulled through this whole thing. And when them blowers came on at the end of that, woo, windshield wipers were flat. By the time that curtains opened and we came out into the sunlight, me and Sue was a wreck. Carrie was like, oh.
Again.
I tell that story because it really illustrates. They don't, you know, when kids are growing up, they don't always understand really what's happening. And that's where a lot of our wrong thoughts, phobias, insecurities, things that we start to grow up with because they experience fear and terror and scary stuff and they worry and God allows all that. We really get hosed up by the time we're grown up. And then, we learn how to take those weird ideas and thoughts and feelings we have and we suppress them. We try not to act weird and all that stuff. But inside, we're still shaky. Inside, we're still like little kids sometimes. Reason, experience, and observation. But the Bible says the only way. Now, you can know God exists by reason, experience, and observation. That's what we just read. That's what Psalms 19 says. That's what Romans 1 says. You can know something's there. But guess what you don't know? You don't know him. Why? The only way you can know this God that Paul made it clear in Acts 17 that the people he saw in Athens, Greece, they were had altars to everything under the sun. He said, I saw one of your altars here to the unknown God. Now let me, this one you worship ignorantly, let me declare him to you. And he started to unpackage the one and only true God. By what? Revelation. The only way a human being can actually know God is by revelation, meaning it's revealed. More specifically, the Bible says it has to be then taught from the revealed information, which is Scripture, inspired of God. That's the only way you can know him, is by revelation. Not just the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. It's all revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture, Paul says, inspired of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to all every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You know that verse. So God is speaking in the creation, and now he speaks to us in the Word. This did not, Peter said, come from man. This is not from any private origin. But holy men of God, Peter said, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's always been that way. That's why it's so brief, too, by the way. God doesn't give us all that filler, you know, all the stuff we want to know about. Hey, there's things I want to know about, too. I want to know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. And I'm going to wait. When I get up there, if I'm still that curious about it, I'll ask God, Lord, whatever happened that with Jimmy Hoffa? Okay. Jesus said something in Big John 16. Jesus said something. Now know this, they've been with him for about 3 years. He's getting near the end of his life. And he says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. I have yet what? Many things to say to you, but you can't bear it. Why? They had no capacity. They had no capacity. You don't realize it, but the human mind can expand. It's called the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It says in Luke 24, Jesus opened their understanding so they might understand the Scripture. They were still confused. Jeff did a great job sharing and opening our eyes to the communion. Do you realize those guys, even though they walked with him, even when he told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, they're going to beat me up, they're going to crucify me, but on the third day I'll rise from the dead. It said they didn't know what he was talking about, and they were scared to ask him. Didn't understand it. Well, in Luke 24, when he did appear after he'd resurrected, scared them again. They were behind closed doors. He said, why are you troubled? Verse 38, Luke 24 and 38. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. See, it's me. Handle me and see, for a spirit don't have flesh and bones like you see me have. And then when he had said this and showed his hands and his feet, yet they still did not believe for joy and marvel. He said, do you have any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took and he's eaten in their presence. Now, he wasn't just hungry because he was bored or because, you know, after going through all that, he was a little hungry. Give me something to eat here. He's proven to them he ain't a ghost when he ate in their presence. He wanted to show them I'm not Casper. You know, because, you know, when Casper used to eat something, it'd fall on the floor. He's trying to show them I'm real. It's me. Handle me. Do you see that? Then he says, look, he said, verse 44, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. These are the words like they didn't understand back then. That's what he's referring to. That all the things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of the Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And verse 45, here you go. And then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Thus it was written, he said, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. He opened their understanding. The mind can open, the mind can stretch. We have to have a tremendous capacity for these things of God. Do you realize how many people walk through this world looking through a straw? Their view about their life and everything else is so narrow, so small. And what do they mostly see? Darkness. In these troublesome times? Gee whiz, when Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilence in various places. Boy, do we see that? Man, if it ain't an earthquake one day, it's another variant of the same pandemic we just had. And then Russia shooting more missiles at somebody in Ukraine. Man, if that's all you can see, this is a bad place. Well, it is. According to 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. And that's exactly what you're seeing. And guess what? That ain't going away. Because guess what? God does not change this world. He has no intention of changing it. He's the one that allows it. Do you think he couldn't stop it? Of course he could stop it. This is all by design. And we're stuck. We're in it, man. But see, the good news is we're called out of it, Peter said. He calls us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. But that's a journey you'll go on by faith, or you won't go on it at all. The way we overcome the world, he said, you got to overcome this world like I overcame to sit down with me in my throne. He opens our understanding. He opens our mind and he strengthens. If you're born again, you got to be born again, Jesus said. In order to perceive it, John 3, big John 3, you got to be born again to perceive the kingdom of God, and born again of water and spirit to enter it. He's not going to change the world. He's going to change you. He's going to change me. Look, that's the only message we got for the world. And you got to dust off this musty, dusty old scripture. Thousands of years old, 3,500 years for the Old Testament, 2,000 for the New Testament. Why? It's still relevant. Just as it was in the day it was written. Hasn't changed. It's not about culture. It's about humans and God. And God said, I've created you, humans, for my glory. But we're going to go through a trial down here, and he's the one that tells us that. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. In the world, he said, you're going to have tribulation. Hebrews chapter 3. Jesus said, we got to increase your capacity, and the Spirit of truth will come for that very purpose. Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7, he said, pay attention. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice. Notice he didn't say tomorrow. Why? You guys know the old saying, tomorrow never comes, right? Because when tomorrow gets here, it's today. Guess what today is? Today. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, God said, I was grieved with that generation. I said, they do always go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Take heed, beware, brethren, Christian, it says in verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart and unbelief, and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Who's he talking about? God's people of the past. Man, they blew it. And they were destroyed. Who? God's people. God's people. He's saying, Christian, beware now, brethren, lest there be in any of you. You don't make the same mistake they did. In fact, that's what chapter 4, verse 12 said. Let me see. No, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one fall according to what? The same example of disobedience. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. The scripture says that the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospels preached to you. And Jesus said in Big John 10 and 35 that scripture cannot be broken. It's relevant right now, here, today. This is the message not only for us as individuals. I have to internalize this, and so do you, for the changes to take place in your life so you can be an example, a light, and to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason, the hope you have. And I'll tell you what, we better be getting ready, because guess what? People are starting to freak out. And not just overseas, right here. I'm getting messages. I'll read part of one I'm getting from Ukraine. They're freaked out, all right. But people are worrying right now, right here. Banks are starting to collapse. I mean, bad things. Wars, rumors of wars. The Chinese and Russians are banding together with Iran and Kim Jong crazy. With all his missiles, these people got all these missiles. Trouble sometimes are here, filling men heart with fear. Don't get me singing now. Today, if you will hear his voice. You know, it's interesting. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, if you just go there real quick. Speaking of Abel, by faith, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, even though he did, being dead, he what? Still speaks. It says right here that Abel is still speaking, if you can hear it. Remember, today, as the Holy Spirit says, don't harden your hearts now. Listen up, listen up. Now, guess what? It says the same thing in Acts 13. In Acts 13, this is about the Apostle Paul. He got a chance. He went into a synagogue on verse 14 there. On the Sabbath. Says in Acts 13, verse 14, and at the end of the verse, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, sat down, and after the reading of the law and the prophet, the rulers of the synagogue said to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have some word of exhortation, say on, or speak up, go ahead. Gave them the floor. So Paul got up, started giving a little history lesson. But the part I want you to see, he starts to refer to what happened concerning Jesus. Verse 26, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem, verse 27, and their rulers, because they did not know him, speaking of Jesus, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. What did they say they couldn't hear? The voices of the prophets. God still speaks loud and clear. If we got ears to hear and eyes to see, Jesus said plainly in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given me is greater than all. No one's able to take them from my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one." The Jews got their stones. Here they go again. When he was actually brought to Pilate, Pilate was asking him, "Are you a king? Yeah, did you hear that from somebody else? Or did you know that yourself?" He said, "Am I a Jew? Your own people delivered you to me. What have you done?" He said, "You rightly say, I'm a king." And that's in Big John 18, verse 37. "You rightly say I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice." Will hear my voice. The voice is still spoken loud and clear. Whether it's the creation itself as a testimony, but Moses said, "I bring heaven and earth a record against you this day." Why would he say he brings heaven and earth as a witness, as a testimony against Israel? It speaks. You can't look at that much complexity and not realize that that bug that just squished on your windshield flying down the road is more high-tech than a space shuttle. You understand what I'm saying? You can't look at that and say, "That what is this creation, whether it's grass or trees or flowers or bugs or animals, humans, the celestial, the cosmic clock. It's all orderly. It's all by design." They cannot even explain it. No idea. They could put a rover on the Mars and let it drive around, take pictures, and send pictures back here from Mars. Yeah, man did that. Ask him to make a blade of grass. Oh, can't do that. Come on. That's evidence. That's what it says. Do you realize they had no microscopes and telescopes when Paul said that in Romans chapter 1? Yet they said there was enough evidence with what you could see with your eyeballs 2,000 years ago was enough to convince any reasonable person that God exists, his invisible attributes. All these power of God is clearly understood in the things that are made. And we got microscopes and telescopes now. We are without excuse. Jesus said, "If they hear you, they hear me. If they don't hear you, they don't hear me, and they don't hear the one who sent me." And that you can look at that Luke 10 and 16. You know, I've shared this before. We got to realize what we have here, especially when you share it with another person. And you rightly divide. You know what that means. You know, you take scripture in context. You rightly divide the word of truth. If somebody's going to ask you to give an answer to the reason, the hope that you have, you need to be able to give them the book, chapter, verse. You got to be able to give them scripture in context. So that what? That what they're receiving from you is the word of God, and not, it may be coming out of your mouth, but it ain't coming from you. So I like this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said, we're thanking God, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing." Why? "Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." It works. It's doing something. I remember my first memory verse Hebrews 4. We were there a second ago, but I didn't read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hebrew writer says that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. The Word of the Lord will endure forever. The Word of God cannot be broken. The Word of God, Jesus said, is truth. In a world now today that people don't believe there is such a thing as an absolute truth, whether or not they realize that what they just said is an oxymoron. They just got done saying there is no absolute truth. And what, is that supposed to be the truth then, that there is no absolute truth? They just proved there is absolute truth. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, if you've heard Jesus and you've been taught by Jesus, he says, and I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, if indeed you've heard him and you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, you can now put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. No longer supposed to be walking, he says in verse 17, like you did before, Gentiles, when you're ignorant, blind, and in darkness. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who are these people? Well, it says right there in Ephesians chapter 2:11, remember, you were Gentiles. Guess who Jesus did not teach when he was here? Gentiles. Whoa, now Paul's saying, whoa, if you've heard Jesus, if you've been taught by Jesus, Paul said, these people were never taught by Jesus. Or were they? Yes, they were. How? He said, if they hear you, they hear me. Who's inspired here? The Apostle Paul. He said, I wasn't taught this by anybody. I received it by revelation. That's Galatians chapter 1. Those things, he said, you've heard of me among many witnesses, I want you to commit. Now, also he told Timothy, to others who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He would say the same thing right there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, how by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I briefly written already. Now when you read, basically what I wrote, he said, now you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. When you read what I wrote, now you know what I know. That's how these Gentiles, these Ephesians, being taught by Jesus, just like you are and just like I am. And that's what people need to hear when it comes out of your mouth. They receive the word which you share with them, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. That's what they're supposed to hear. Now, I was sharing some things in my study yesterday. You know, I have a Saturday morning study with Belarusians and Ukrainians. And they are really going through some stuff. But guess what I'm trying to tell them? I'm not trying to come up with some encouraging words or what else I can come up with to just share with them when they're up to their eyeballs in real fear and suffering. Now, don't forget, that's not just for over there. It's for here. We got to always remember, it's here, here. People are at their wits' end here. People are, what do you think people take drugs and alcohol for? For the most part, it's not because they just want to have some fun. They just want to feel better. They're so miserable, they'd rather take that stuff knowing full well it'll kill them if they can only feel good for a few minutes. Look at some of them people living in them boxes that are on all this That fentanyl, man, I mean, that is deadly, deadly stuff. They'll tell somebody, they'll sit right there talking, you know, that can kill you, and they go, are they ready to stick this stuff in there? Yeah, I know. What is the matter with them? Hopeless, empty, don't even care. It's a global problem. World, it's always been. That's human history. It's always been that way here. It's dark. It's dangerous. So I use scripture, and that's one of the challenges. You got to, first off, always got to make sure people know. When you're sharing this stuff with them, we have to show them this is real and relevant. It came from God, and it's current. We have to prove the Bible is the Word of God, and that's not that hard to do. We can do that. That must be established, because when you start dealing with people that are really hurting, we have to show them this is from your Creator, and He knows you, He sees you, He knew you were before you were born. There's verses for that. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb for the purpose of revealing His Son in me that I might preach Him to the Gentiles. Do you think Saul of Tarsus, when he was standing there guarding coats of these people stoning Stephen, do you think he knew that was him? Not yet. But he was going to find out. Do you think that blew his mind when he realized that God knew him way back then? God who brought him forth from his mother's womb for the purpose of revealing His Son in him to the nations? Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations, God said, I knew you before I formed you. Those scriptures cannot be broken. The Dead Sea Scrolls are proof that the New Testament and Old Testament were separated by 400 years. The guys that wrote the Old Testament, those inspired prophets, were right on. Because the evidence of the first century of the coming of Jesus of Nazareth is recorded in secular history. But I ain't going there. Anya told me there was a girl, an orphan that she knew for years. She grew up, she's got some kids now. But she was desperate, really desperate. She's very poor, she has a husband, he's alcoholic, and he beats her up. He's a welder, so he disappears for some weeks at a time to do welding jobs somewhere. And they live in Ukraine. But she hears that he's getting pulled into the army now. He'll probably go, and I don't think she cares. He gives them no money, and she's got these kids. Anya reached out to me, found out that the young girl was wanting to go to, she's going to school. She wants to be a teacher. That's her dream, always to be a school teacher. But then she was so depressed, and she felt God had, you know, abandoned her, and all these, it's just sad. And she needed tuition to be able to finish what she was taking in school to fulfill her dream. I told Anya, I said, well, how much does she need? Are you ready for this? $400. I said, you tell her, I'll give her the $400. Ask her if she can hide it so he can't find it until she can. Oh, yeah, no problem. Anyway, Tamara, that's her name, says hello to you, Anya said. She was afraid that she would be kicked out from the school because she had no way to pay, and she couldn't even feed those kids. She is so happy that you have helped her cover this. And she said, you know, we talk a lot. She said she was so depressed lately that it was hard for her to see anything positive. And when you helped her, now it feels like she sees the light, the sun. She started praying every day like before. She said that she used to pray every day before, but she felt like God left her, like her prayers were in vain. And gradually she stopped praying at all. But now she sees what God, that God sends special people into her life, and she's starting feeling less depressed and start having hope. She said, Steve, I was so touched by these words, and I wanted to share them with you. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father. She's glorifying God. this poor former orphan girl with kids she couldn't feed, has an alcoholic husband who beats her up. And then plus she lives in a war zone. Can your life get more screwed up? Easy. A mother alone in that situation can't even feed her kids, and all she wants is to be a school teacher, and no way to do it at all. And now, remember when Jesus said even a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple? She said, yes, I am also very happy. For Tamara, Anya told me. Because she's known her since she was a young girl in the orphanage. It really means a lot, she said, when a person says something like that. She said, I was especially touched when she said she started praying again. She feels that now she can thank God for something and believe that he is there in helping her. Another lady we were helping, she's a deputy director of in a district in Ukraine that used to be, you know, she was there to help people with their normal, you know, depressions or various problems that people have, domestic abuse or whatever. Well, since this war happened, they are completely overwhelmed. They got people coming, and it's terrible. Oksana is still, her name is Oksana, is still actively helping not only refugees but soldiers. Some stories that she told were extremely hard to hear. There are many soldiers that come to the hospitals here without legs, no hands, and no desire to live. Many call her from the front line. She doesn't refuse anyone in a personal meeting. Oksana says there are so many broken lives. She's never seen so many before, and the worst is still ahead, as when the war finishes, the situation will be really bad. She even has training now for psychologists who themselves need help because they've been exposed to so much horror. Even the people trying to help the people need help now because they're freaked out. You see, the Word of God is alive and powerful and real and relevant. And this is the only thing that can pierce that darkness. God can allow the darkness because the light is greater than the darkness, but it has to be taught. Go ye into all the world. Preach this good news to everybody. They need to hear it. Mental health people can only go so far. When they don't have the bigger picture, God needs to open the eyes of the understanding of people to know the length, the breadth, and the height, and the depth. Darkness is easy to see, but the light has to be unpackaged. And guess who's here to do it? We are. And God willing, we already got our tickets. We're going to Kosovo, but then heading into Poland, because that's where some Belarusians, Ukrainians are holed up at. We'll go there first. But Oksana said, may we get into Ukraine. Well, we'll see how that goes. She's already just gone in there with her dad, because she's been hiding out in Poland, and goes back and forth. Anya does. And they took, she said, a couple American missionaries. They got them across the border at a fairly remote checkpoint. The Ukrainians let them come on in with the Americans. And they were missionaries, actually, she said. So the door is somewhat open there. But here's the deal. We have nothing new to share with anybody. There is no philosophies, no psychologies that's going to make the difference in anybody's life except that truly which comes from the Creator. God created the human, he created their mind, and he said, I create the darkness and the light. And so this is what they need. We need it as individuals, we need it collectively as a body, and we need to be able to take it out to those who are really hurting in this world. This is how God is glorified. And this is how it'll be done. It's how it's always been done for thousands of years. Thanks for your attention this morning.